Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, you're tuned to Radio Islam International. The program is called The Conversation on this Monday morning. Inshallah, lots coming up in the program. We chat to Ronald in about 8 minutes or so. For all your health and fitness questions getting answered, we know many people are trying this year to change somewhat in terms of their dietary habits. Are you amongst them? What are your questions? What do you plan to do in Ramadan to keep fit and healthy? Is that an option for you, or is it just whacking the samosas and pies at iftar, going for a 2-minute walk to get it all down? Whatever it is in terms of health and fitness, get your questions in on 072-786-1548. And about 11:35, inshallah, we will chat to Janine Shamos. Today she's talking about remaining hopeful. So we want to ask you as well, what are you hopeful of? You can share with us on 072-786-1548. Do you feel that Ramadan this coming year will be a bit different from last year? Do you see similar things like last year? Or do you feel that this year will be as close to, pre-lockdown situation type Ramadan vibes? Or do you see it being similar to last year? You can talk to us and let us know how you feel. Also on this Monday, are you ready? Have you begun your spiritual rejuvenation program in terms of getting your mindset ready for Ramadan? Are you ready? Do you feel like, anxious, that you're not 100% yet ready for whatever it is? Usually by now you maybe have your whole plan set out, whether it's meals, whatever, and also your spiritual timetable in terms of the times you'll read Quran, make istighfar, dhikr, whatever it is that you usually, lift in terms of your level for Ramadan. Are you sorted out in that way? Are you hopeful and keeping in line with our theme for today? Are you hopeful of the mercy of Allah in terms of, getting yourself back into your spiritual best? You can let us know on 072-786-1548. Message coming through already says, this is a message for Ronald, so we'll keep it for when he joins us in a couple of minutes, inshallah. I'll keep this, I'll make sure I keep it in line here. Yeah, but listener, while you're waiting for Ronald, you can talk to us. What are you hopeful for this coming Ramadan, inshallah? What are you hopeful for generally in this year of 2021? Do you feel much more optimistic than you did maybe last year? Yeah, you can let us know also on 072-786-1548. I know many enjoyed the family type Taraweeh last year. It might happen in some areas still. But generally, I think most probably it will head towards the more normal routines of Taraweeh. So interested to hear from you guys how you feel going into this year. Is there nerves this year? Are you a bit more calmer this year, maybe, in terms of whatever it is that you plan to do, whatever it is that you've worked out in your heart and mind, what you want to achieve in this month of Ramadan? Maybe you want to increase your Quran recitation during this month. And hopefully, the main thing with Ramadan is that you're hoping, inshallah, that it's sort of a habit builder for the rest of the year. So whatever you manage to do during Ramadan, inshallah, it becomes embedded in your daily routines and habits. And like that famous one, the use of the fan, when you put the switch off, it still spins for a while. So hopefully, whatever the fan of hidayat and extra good during Ramadan, you're hoping, inshallah, that fan spins, enough to keep you till the next one and rejuvenate. It's like a re-energizing cycle that occurs every year. And, inshallah, you can get to the best that you can be spiritually and otherwise. So we head for that first break, inshallah. When we come back, we chat to Ronald for all things health and fitness related. Do you have aches and pains? Want to know what's the problem, what it could be? Looking to do different things in terms of what you're going to eat at Sehri time or iftar, All of those you can get in on 072-786-1548. Love even when I'm yes, indeed, you're tuned into The Conversation on Radio Islam International. Time for the verbal fitness sessions with our health and wellness expert, Ronald Evergy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi, brother Jess.
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm craving for milk tart.
Hey, you know what? We were busy with this Lens Super Cup for the last 7 weeks.
I saw the results on your Instagram.
Yes, what a fantastic initiative. And well done to all the teams that participated over this time.
And the seven, Roshni FC, Roshni.
Yeah, Roshni took a lot of the trophies. So well done to them, especially our friend Ziad Pahad. In our division under 9, also doing fantastically well, going through the entire tournament without losing a game. So well done to them.
Fantastic.
Ronald, now we're heading in very, we're on the doorstep of Ramadan, right? What are you doing different this year in terms of your eating habits and your fitness regimen that you have going into the month here?
Well, actually, I was thinking about it this weekend. I'm into the habit of training in the morning. And as I train in the morning, I do a little bit of strength training. So I want to maintain that habit in the morning. And the reason I say that is because I'm not doing cardio, I'm doing strength training. So as I eat before, I'm going to go for higher protein foods, right? Mm-hmm. And slower release carbohydrates. And then do a little bit of a strength training workout. And then allow that to fuel the body through the day. Yes, I might get a bit tired, but I'll gauge it and keep you posted. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening, hydrate and try to do a little bit of cardio. So I'm really going to go for a lot of protein-rich foods, less fatty foods, and then really, you know, be more mindful of portion sizes. So don't eat with my eyes, you know, eat with the feeling of the body. Mm. And you know that, so that's what I'm going to be eating, how I'm going to be exercising, and awareness of how and when I eat.
Tell me something. Does Tarawih count as being the, you know, getting your minimum daily cardio in? Like,
you know, Yuna, it depends. Are you sitting there for a full 20?
Of course.
I never forget the one year when you were talking about you smelled the bajas as you went to Tarawih, you know? So what I'm saying to you is this, is that there are a lot of benefits with Tarawih prayers, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two is you've got to understand that. Yeah. There's also a lot of benefits of reading normal salah. But what you are doing is this, is you are standing. So mm-hmm. when you're standing, you're engaging your core, you're utilizing muscle groups, etc. But you've got to be conscious thereof. You know, so as you're standing, you've got to look at it from a perspective of you're sitting on a high chair, so you've got to lower your glutes and your hips, mm-hmm. and of course change your pelvic tilt, engage your core, and it does definitely then count. But does it equate to the effect of a jog or a run? No, it doesn't. Not at that level of the game. Okay.
Yeah. In terms of you know, you have to have your bottle of water there just to keep you hydrated throughout the 20 rakats. Is there anything else? Should you have like some khajur in your pockets or some badams or what?
No, well, I mean, it'll definitely be great to have, you know, if you want to have something calcium orientated, water is critical as well. And also, you know, keep a date or two with you, you know, just to nibble on something as well if you really do want to, if you do feel a bit of an energy lull. Because remember, as you're standing in Tarawih, the body contracts isotonically and isometrically, means with constant tension.
Yeah.
Now, that gentle exercise enhances the endurance and diminishes tiredness, number one. Mm. Number two is this, is that you also need to look at needing fats and proteins and carbohydrates. So a date is ideal because the body requires minerals such as potassium for nerve and muscle activity. Mm. Now, if you have fruits, a little bit of meat and seafood and milk, now, obviously you said badam, so the milk will definitely help you cater for that because the potassium deficiency leads to muscular issues and concerns. And potassium is also important for the transmission of nerve impulses. Mm. So when you look at that, you know, it really is going to help you. If you do have a little bit of badam, and I'm a fan of badam, as you know, have a handful of nuts and or a date or two. That'll be great.
Yeah, I know you are nuts, but
you got time for jokes.
Ronald, there was something I was going to ask you, and it's just basically slipped my mind at this moment. It was yes. So before I head off for Tarawih, I usually have two khajurs, right? And that gives you enough energy to be okay for the 20 rakats. Is that a bit too much or is it fine?
It depends on your day as well. Remember, it's not just about what you do just beforehand. It depends on the cumulative effect thereof. If you tend to over-chow, and you and I both know, brother, when it comes to Ramadan, the first few nights, it's a full spread layout, and you're going to, and you know, you tend to overeat. And when that happens, you do become lethargic. So your two good juice before you go to Ritrawi is not a train smash. You know, what you do find is that you're going to feel fatigued because you are up earlier, you do have interrupted sleep, so you will generally feel tired. But the more mindful you are within your Tarawih, engaging your glutes, tightening your core, reading your Salah, because there's beautiful benefits to reading Salah from a physical perspective, you know, from stretching to muscle activation, etc., you will find yourself having bouts of energy increases. But if you did have a hectic day, you will feel a bit of an energy lull. So your two kajur are actually quite fine.
Questions coming in here on 072-786-1548 says, Assalamu alaikum, please advise, what would be the best routine to have if we still plan on going to gym? I'm guessing they're talking about in Ramadan. Is it preferable to gym whilst fasting or not? So two questions there.
All right, so I assume when you say go to gym, you're doing strength training. That's an assumption. So let's assume that assumption is as that, okay? So what you would then say is, remember, you could also go to gym and you could do cardio, or you could go to gym and you could do cardio and strength. That's it. First and foremost, always practice safety, Ramadan or not, because with the COVID-19 vaccine, so your sanitizer and, of course, your masks, right? But we also know that when you do exercise in Ramadan, you will feel good, and many people like myself want to maintain our fitness levels, because if I don't, I'm going to feel miserable. So Ramadan's a good time to not only work on one's mental and spiritual health, but also to maintain the physical momentum thereof. So for me, I want to try something new this year. Beforehand, I told you, for many years, I would exercise before I broke fast.
Yeah.
But then I would do high-intensity training, which is a combination of cardio and strength. And the reason I would do that is because I would get thirsty when doing cardio. So I would then like to have water soon thereafterwards to, you know, minimize my dehydration. However, I want to try to flip my activity up. So I want to actually go to the gym in the morning, because I do go very early, very few people there, and then I go for about half an hour or so. So I will be doing higher volume training and lighter weights. So I'll maintain my muscle tone. And because I go just after I eat in the morning, you know, I will have a little bit of energy from what I've eaten. And of course, I'll have a little bit of fluids in me. But because of strength training, I'm not going to get too dehydrated.
Yes.
So I would say to you is, if you do want to go, continue going. But just be mindful of dehydration if you're doing a lot of cardio. And also be mindful of, you can't pump the same weights, because you need that energy and your muscles are going to atrophy. When your muscles atrophy, it means you damage them to build. And your body needs food, fuel and food to build. So go for maintenance rather than building.
Okay. There's many questions coming in. I'm going to squeeze one of my own ones in here as well. Ronald, why is it in Ramadan that for the first, like, say, 5 or 6 days, I noticed that I kind of, not pick up weight, but I just feel a lot more stronger for that first 5 or 6 days. And then after a while, you start feel like you know, when the air is coming out of the balloon slowly but surely, and then you start shrinking. Why does it happen in the initial days and then afterwards, you know, fading?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a very good question. So when you look at this thing over here, is right, is that initially your body shifts into very similar principle of intermittent fasting. You know, that's when you don't eat for periods of time and then you eat for periods of time, right? Not 2 hours, like 12, all right? So when that happens, you shift your body's metabolism into burning excess fat for energy. First with protein, which is muscle, and then extra fat. So when that happens, it does fuel you from a different perspective, but you can't maintain that for too long, because your body then reaches a point where it gets, you know, it's almost like fatigue and drain of that system, which is why when people go on intermittent fasting diets, they go for 4 or 5 days and then they get back into a normal one and they utilize it intermittently. So that's a principle that applies here. So you will feel that beautiful boost in the beginning, potentially, and then you will, of course, find that lull. What it means in that lull period is that you need to look at how you then restructure what you're chowing in the mornings and the evenings.
Right.
Do you go for more fatty foods, healthy fats, not unhealthy fats, get me straight, or do you aim for, you know, slow-release carbs, or aim for a balanced meal more with more fruits and veg? So by flipping that up, all right, you give your body that energy so that you try to, within the period of Ramadan, the next third, go to that point of where you try to get away from that lull. But the lull is inevitable. We all feel lull now and then. We all get, you know, that real like, oh, I just want to sleep right now. That'll happen. Also with the change of season, you know, it compounds it as well. With the cold and flus that are about, with the sinus issues that are about, you're going to feel lull. So be mindful thereof. And if you do find that, adjust the morning and the evening eating.
Okay, so it's a lull, but it's a halal lull. All right.
You're on the ball today, I see. Are you hanging out with Chacha?
I've got my miswak in my hand. It usually sharpens my teeth and mind. So here's one saying, Assalamu alaikum. Hope you guys are well. I'm a 26-year-old female. I'm trying really hard to lose weight. Alhamdulillah, I've lost 10 kgs with eating healthy and exercises over 6 months. Now that winter is at our doorstep, I get lazy to go for a walk and exercise. Any motivation or advice from Ronald? I'm losing motivation. Jazakallah khair.
No, don't lose the motivation. You've come so far. You've done such an amazing job. I mean, 6 months of commitment and dedication. Don't let the change of season be that derails you. I know you can do it. You got to stick to it. And, you know, like with anything in life, you deal with the peaks and the troughs, the highs and the lows, the tough times, the good times, the smooth times, the prickly times. But at the end of the days, if you want to smell that rose, at times you got to go through the thorns on the stem. And the beauty of it all is, brother, is very simple. And to this listener, I would say to you, is that find what would give you an alternative to walking outside if walking outside and cold is going to affect you negatively. So, for example, you know, log on to one of our free fitness classes, brother. They're available. They're there. You know, go to myhealth360.co.za and go and join in, because we've got a variety of sessions there. I mean, we've got Anissa doing some stretches. We've got the high-intensity cardio, the light stuff. Find something that you enjoy and do it either in a group virtually. So maybe you do a workout with a couple of your friends and you log onto a platform and you guys, you know, share each other's screens and you challenge each other. I'd never forget the walk that you guys did, Brother Ijaz, the pedometer chat.
What a thing.
And you didn't have to see each other. The weather wasn't lacquer half the time when you were busy walking. Because of that competitive flavor and doing it with each other, you ultimately maintained it and improved on it. So I'd say to the person, walking outside is not your only option. Find other alternative ways that you could do indoor exercise, which I love doing. Seriously, log on to myhealth360.co.za, and I'll even be in a couple of those classes if you tell me which one you're going to join in, so I can show you that you can do this, irrespective of whether it's hot or cold outside.
Brilliant stuff. This one says, Salams, any advice for someone who has recently been diagnosed as diabetic?
Wow. Okay, firstly, so is it type 1 or type 2? I just would like to know from this listener,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let us know.
Because that does impact the kind of input that we then give. So remember that patients people with diabetes, especially those with type 1 who fast during Ramadan, at increased risk of developing potentially diabetic ketosis, ketoacidosis, and particularly if they are very, very low in sugar before Ramadan starts. So what you got to say to yourself is this. So what can I do? So the first thing is this, is you constantly, if you are on medication, whether it be insulin or anything else.
They just replied, they said, not the one that takes insulin.
Oh, okay, fantastic. Okay, great. But, you know, while we're on that answer, any which way, you know, let's give it up. You've got to talk to your general practitioner if you are on insulin. Please, you need to do that. I can't stress that enough. My dad is diabetic, and I force him to constantly talk to his specialist with regards to what's happening. The second thing is this, is that if you are type 2 diabetic and you're not on the insulin, really you've got to be very mindful of how you're feeling. So what are your signs and symptoms that you are really getting low in sugar? Do you get thirsty? Do you find that you urinate a lot even though you haven't drunk water? Do you find there's a little bit of pain or swelling in the feet? So you've got to look after all your health facets, especially when it comes to Ramadan. So complications can lead to low blood glucose, high blood glucose, dehydration, and of course, like I said, diabetic ketoacidosis. So what you need to do is, first and foremost, right, visit your doctor, make sure you're all good. Check your blood glucose regularly. So blood glucose monitoring and insulin injections are critical to check. So be very mindful thereof. If you have to adjust your medication, adjust it. When to break the fast, the doctor will guide you as to what the measurement should be. Perform regular, light to moderate exercise. Rigorous exercise I don't recommend for diabetics during the month of Ramadan because of the increased risk of low blood glucose or dehydration. And physical exertions involved in the Taraweeh prayer, such as bowing, kneeling, sitting, and rising, should also be considered as part of your daily activities. as part of, not in conjunction or mm-hmm. in alternative to.
Gotcha.
So when you look at it, I would really say divide your calories between sehri and iftar. Ensure that your meals are well balanced. So you're aiming for 45% to 50% carbohydrate, 20 to 30% protein, and about 35% of the essential fats and the good fats. Include plenty of fruits and veggies. Minimize foods that are high in saturated fats, Brother Ijaz.
Mm-hmm.
The musas and so forth. Minimize it. So if you normally have five, have one. All right? And use small amounts of oil when cooking. Very important. Stay hydrated when you can drink. And if you really lust for some bread, please go for low GI, okay?
Mm-hmm. Ronald, there's many questions, so we'll try and get through as many as we can.
Sure.
This one might be for Mufti, so I'm not too sure. He's saying, Assalamu alaikum, I go for aqua aerobics. I just want to find out, in Ramadan, is it possible for me to carry on?
I can answer from a physical perspective, yes.
Okay.
From a physiological perspective, yes. Because remember I said light to moderate activity? Maintain that, keep it going. The other elements, we let a Mufti answer that for us.
Yep. That's Islam's. My mum experiences palpitations. Why does this happen? She has noticed this condition whilst eating double thick yogurt and food cooked with ghee.
Wait, double thick yogurt. So does your mom have any heart issue that we should know of? Please let us know, because it's very important to look at. So when you look at a heart palpitation, you need to understand a couple of things, Brother Jazz. Mm-hmm. That food and drinks with high levels of amino acid tyramine can cause your blood pressure to increase and lead to palpitations. Now those include some of the dairy stuff, etc., etc. So just be mindful thereof. So I would advise that your mom cut those things out if that is what she is experiencing. And really, just if she needs to see a dietitian for alternatives, let her go and see that. Now, some of the other diet-related triggers are also low potassium levels. We spoke about dehydration. So be very wary of and mindful of it during the month of Ramadan. Also, then you're looking at this tyramine thing. So it's your aged cheeses, your meats. And with the cheeses, it's also about the yogurt, because remember, yogurt is always like curd, like it's aged. So be very mindful thereof. So try to cut out tyramine from your diet. Something also known as theobromine. Now that's an ingredient commonly found in chocolate, can also increase your heart rate and cause palpitations. So be very mindful of that. Basically, no more chocolate during this period. And there's no research to confirm MSG, which is monosodium glutamate. You always see, you know, MSG-free on a lot of preservative foods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's no research to prove that. But also, you know, cut out caffeinated drinks, because, if you have too much caffeine, it does cause some palpitations and give you that energy boost. So your chocolate energy drinks, your fizzy drinks, and your caffeinated teas and coffees, just be very mindful and just minimize that.
And last one here for now, says Salam's brother, my hubby, first time got sugar. It says it was height 22, but I'm guessing it was age 22. Have tablets now six. So I'm guessing he has six tablets now daily when he eats. He fills food blocks and a little phlegm comes out. Is this natural? He has reflux also, and they're saying, please, urgent, want to know, will he fast? No sweets and fruits. He has sugar-free biscuits.
Okay. So he's a diabetic, right?
I'm guessing so. I don't know. They haven't.
Okay, well, let me give you a very quick conclusion, brother.
Yeah.
So in a study done by the NCBI, sorry, all right, in the NIH journal, they looked at some research where they looked at certain people with type 2 diabetes. A lot of them reported grade 2 dyspnea. Now, that is that along with chronic coughing and phlegm. So is he a smoker, not a smoker? So yes, diabetes appears back in 2017 to anticipate lung aging processes. But again, he's got to chat to his doctor and have a look at that if he is diabetic. And the second thing is, I would advise that you have to talk to a dietitian. And the reason I say that is because they'll give alternatives on what they can eat to minimize the phlegm production. We know that the phlegm production is from either an irritation in the sinuses, so it's about the fluid, because you need to get rid of that phlegm always. So it might be very uncomfortable, so you're constantly hearing that, you know. and I know with my sinuses, there's a lot of phlegm production, especially during this season.
Mm-hmm.
Autumn. So be very mindful thereof. It could compound that. Again, if you're diabetic, you steer away from what I advised earlier, and you focus on the healthy alternatives. And it's going to be difficult for him, because he's going to crave it, he's on the list for it. But he's got to be dedicated and committed to that.
Okay. This one says, Salams, why do I feel weak after iftar?
After iftar?
Yeah.
Hey, it's like, you know, when you have a lack of meal after you...
What's it, a food coma?
Eat it for a while.
Called a food coma, no?
It's called a food coma. So what happens is this, is that often we tend to overeat during the time of iftar. That's a fact, right? Mm-hmm. And that shifts about 70% of our blood flow towards our gastrointestinal system, meaning our digestive system, our stomach, our intestines, large and small. And that can cause muscle weakness, fatigue, and some headache. So that's the main reason as to why you feel it. But for most people, it's just because of either a lack of sleep as well, which compounds it, which really does make it a little bit more difficult. And so be very mindful thereof. So don't overeat and try to get as much sleep as you can. Full sleep, not these intermittent sleeps, okay?
Jazakallah khair, Ronald, for answering all the questions for today. We look forward to chatting. We might give you a break during Ramadan, or we might trouble you sometimes. We have 1 hour and many air breaks.
I'm here for you, brother. You know, you call and Ronald comes running, especially when there's this imaginary milk dot that I'll be chasing.
No, inshallah, that will make its way towards you. Maybe closer to Eid time, maybe, you know. I have to record all of this boring Babu and Grumpy Chacha and do the shows daily. But it is on the list to do. So don't worry, inshallah. The intention is there to get it. All right.
Ameen. But brother, let me just wish everybody a wonderful and beautiful Ramadan.
Ameen.
Be healthy, be safe, and you know, we just keep everyone in our du'as. And if you do need help and assistance, please reach out to Brother Ijaz. He'll pop through our website address, myhealth360.co.za, brother. Mm-hmm. The stuff is there for free for our listeners, you know, because we're trying to help people during this time. So, inshallah, everyone be safe, be healthy, and have a beautiful Ramadan.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Someone saying, have a great Ramadan, Brother Ronald. Jazakallah for all the advice.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing and asking the questions and trusting me with that. I value it, so jazakallah to you.
Take care, my man. Have a brilliant Ramadan, inshallah.
And to you too, my brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ronald there with the Verbal Fitness Sessions on Radio Islam International. When we come back from this break, we chat into Janine. We're talking about remaining hopeful. What are you hopeful for, whether spiritually or just in general, at this time of your life? If you sit now and you're like, I'm hopeful I'm going to be a millionaire by next year, or I'm hopeful that inshallah next year my name will, I'll make it to go for Hajj, inshallah. What is it that you are hopeful for? We're talking to Janine about remaining hopeful in these trying times. Back after the short break. Yes, indeed, you're tuned into the conversation on Radio Islam International. And as we enter and get closer towards the holy month of Ramadan, it's a prime time for introspection. Hope is not something that we talk about enough, or a word that we hear much. Life is so unpredictable, so much more now. Joining us on line right now to chat to us about remaining hopeful during these times is our transformation expert, traumatologist Janine Shamos. Good morning and welcome to the program, Janine.
Good morning. It's great to be here. I can't believe it's that time of year again.
It is, and it feels like it's just flown by this year. And it's interesting to see how it all pans out. Everyone's getting prepared. And so when we talk about hope, right, one of the complexities of hope is how you define it, Janine. So what does hope mean?
So it's one of those weird words because is it an emotion? Is it a belief system? Is it a mindset? Is it, you know, and depending on who you're talking to, they're going to define hope very differently. Ultimately, it's the expectation that something good will happen, that something is going to change. And we can kind of face hardship and struggles with a sense that there's something we can do about it. Even if it's a situation beyond our control, hope is very much that I can rely on me and my reserves and somehow control something or challenge the situation in some way.
So life is 2% what happens, Janine, and 98% of how you respond to it. Why is mindset so crucial?
So it is exactly that. You know, we kind of, life doesn't really happen to us. we happen to it. You know, we go through things, and it's our response to it that leads to the consequences that it does. So it's so important that you choose how to react to things. And whether we're looking at hope, I mean, the polar opposite is despair, you choose both of those. You choose to look at the doom and gloom, and that's what your internal voice is set at, or your internal voice is set is on, okay, this has happened, I don't like it, but I don't have to stay in the situation, I can change it. So mindset is crucial.
Right. Now, times of despair is always associated with darkness. So how does darkness lead to the light of hope, Ginny?
I think, I don't want to say people have forgotten, because I don't think people have, but I think we don't remember him enough, is Christopher Reeve. Good old original Superman. And he was Superman. I mean, really he was. And he said after his accident, he did not imagine for a second, if he had looked back, that he would be able to cope with such adversity. And look at him. Look at how he lived the remainder of his life and the hope that he brought to others. So darkness and severe pain and trauma, and that's really what, you know, being a traumatologist about is saying you've been in a horrible situation. You are grieving. You are in pain. But look at what you can turn that to. You can go from victim to someone who's thriving because you believe in hope, and you believe that you have the power to bring that into your life.
Now, Janine, he who has a why to live can bear any how. So it can be hard to find your meaning after trauma. Do you have any tips for those who do?
So a lot of psychologists, philosophers have said that knowing what your life purpose is really important, because then you know why you're getting up every morning on a grand scale. The question that I ask is, what would I do with my life if I had only 1 year to live? What would change? What is the thing that I want to do that I'm not doing? I think Stephen Jobs, I'm going to mess it up, but he said something along the lines of, when you look in the mirror in the morning, you go, I don't want to do this, then it's time to change. And, you know, that's, you need to find your passion and authenticity and live by that. Because even if there's no other trauma, just living an inauthentic life can be very negative and very challenging.
Profound indeed. Janine, appreciation and gratitude, why are they so key?
So again, very subjective, right? You know, what we lose and how we look at it is very important. You know, it's still very different for each person. It's very easy to look around and go, it's all dark, it's all gloomy, nothing's going to change. But by accepting that I'm in this moment, this has happened, I don't like it, but it's okay. And learning to appreciate what hasn't changed or what new things have come about. Maybe you lost your job, you're working from home, finances are tough. But there is a good side, you're getting to spend time with your children. So always look at the flip side. And remember that if we live too much in what was, it's very hard to change what is, because our mindset's skewed. So be grateful, be appreciative, but also acknowledge that you're allowed to have bad days and that bad things have happened.
Why is it so important, Janine, to trust in your abilities during times like this?
Human beings we talk a lot about resilience, okay, but we underplay how strong we actually are. We very easily feel overwhelmed. So when things are happening, and this is a really tough time, and you kind of feel, I can't. Not one more day. I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing when you kind of take that deep breath and you think, whoa, where did that strength come from? I didn't know I had that in me. I didn't know that I had the ability, the resilience, the strength to actually get through this, but I did. So when you're in that phase and questioning, can I do this? Can I get through this? Remind yourself of other times that you've got through things when you thought you wouldn't. And you'll start to recognize that your strengths are so much more than you ever thought.
Now, Jeanine, hope is a balancing act. What does that mean exactly?
So as if things weren't complicated enough, right? Hope is very much, you know, I always think of skateboards because that's, you know, the core's got to be there and you've got to be centered, and I can't stand on a skateboard for anything. But you've got to be smack bang in the middle. Yes, it's important to look at the past. It's important to not look at it, remember what happened to you and acknowledge it. It is important to have goals and set things for your future that you hope will happen and you know, live for. But if we get stuck in either one of those, we lose now, and that's the only thing that really matters. So when we get stuck too much in the past, we lose the opportunities, the challenges, the good things that are happening right now, because we're not in this reality. We're stuck in the past or stuck in the future, and we don't know how the future is going to pan out. We have no idea. So placing all your hope and happiness in some distant future that you've conjured up, you're not going to be able to get there because you're not moving towards that.
You've sent me an affirmation, I think it is. It says here, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Explain.
So I think that is, I don't remember when it was written, but it's the serenity prayer. And I think at a time like this, I really believe that it's important to remind ourselves of that. We choose what battles to fight and which ones to walk away from. We need to keep that balance. We need to remember that some things are a lot more important than others. And we need courage. We need strength. But we also need acceptance and stillness. But we need to know which is which. So it is important to reflect on the patterns in your life, the way that you're thinking. Am I thinking in negative ways constantly? What are the consequences? And get that back into balance. And I find the serenity prayer a really good way to do that.
Jeanine, you've given us many salient words of wisdom there. And hopefully people can take it on board and practice it. And hopefully it will be a good addition to their lives and improve their standard of living in terms of their happiness, contentment, peace of mind, gratitude, all of those things.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, hope is, don't let people say that things are hopeless or that you're too hopeful, and believe that there is always something that you can do. There is, no matter how bad a situation is, even if it's just, I can change my attitude, you've still got some control. So remember that. And I wish you and your family and all the listeners a month of peace and health, mm-hmm, and happiness and success.
Thank you so much, Jeanine. And we will miss you for this month, and we'll pick it up straight after the month of Ramadan. You enjoy the break. And we'll chat in a month or so.
Fantastic. Goodbye.
Bye-bye now. That was transformation expert, traumatologist Jeanine Shamos talking to us on all things hope-related. What are you hopeful of going forward? Inshallah, that will give you some strength going into the month of Ramadan. And I've just thought of an idea. Let me just type it and send it to my co-host of the Afternoon Comes Wow show. A topic that we can talk about one of the afternoons. Let me just type it in here. All right, so you can get it in your mind in the meantime as well. Probably one of the first 2 days we'll ask it on the mood interactive that we have. Are you more serious now than 1 year ago? Are you more serious now than a year ago? Right, keep that in a bank for the afternoon comes WOW Show, inshallah. Alrighty then, I think we've taken all of our ad breaks. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so you guys have a few minutes to talk to us in terms of what you are hopeful for going forward. I see one here coming through saying, Salams, brother, I wish we can go for Umrah. We were going every year, but since last year, it has stopped. Allah cleanse. Enjoying your program. Always you read my messages, Jazakallah. I mean, we try and read all the messages, time permitting, inshallah, when they come through. And may the way be open for everyone, inshallah, in terms of their halal wishes coming through, inshallah. Yeah, sure, okay. Today, just thinking now. Okay, Waja was talking to me earlier on that chances are the moon will probably not be, you know, in terms, you never know. But it could be too young to be spotted in it. So, one more day. I'm just stressing about because usually, but it happens every single year, that I don't have any of the, you know, all of the episodes. There are recordings and stuff, but not yet put together with the sounds. And I'm like, where am I going to do that? And I still have to get the interviews for the presenters, set the questions, like your normal daily work, and still try and get the boring Babu and Crumpy Chacha going. So, appeal, request for duas, inshallah, that it still happens, and we'll have you in stitches going into the month of Ramadan. With your duas, inshallah, all of that will still take place and be fruitful and be done on time. So we ask for your duas heading into this month of Ramadan, that all of our gremlins in our systems go away with those that get locked up in this month, so all the gremlins can go away. Computers must work lekker throughout the month and throughout the year also as well, inshallah. And everything, all of the plans for the shows and all of that goes smoothly, inshallah. And so that we can bring the best programming to you, the listeners of Radio Islam International. So we'll close it off there for today. We'll close off with one of our nasheeds, inshallah. Lots of requests for the podcast of today's show. We'll try and get that to you. So check up maybe about after 2. It should be on the website on radioislam.org.za, the podcast for today's show. So we close it off for today. Jazakallah khair to all of you listeners for sending your questions in for Ronald. And we look forward to chatting tomorrow for the last edition of The Conversation for a Month. So we'll have something to talk about tomorrow, as we always do. So from my engineer, Yazdan Khan, from Ronald Evergy, from Janine Shamos, myself, Ijaz, for today, it's Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.